We had good services last week with Pastor Rick as he was here, and Sandy and I were in San Francisco having a good time. It was kind of foggy, and so I didn't know that, but actually San Francisco in August is called Foggest. They call it Foggest because the Pacific Ocean, it stays 55 degrees year-round. It doesn't warm up, and when it gets hot in the summer months inland, it kind of just pulls that cool air over it, and it's like fog all morning and day until the afternoon. Maybe at 1 or 2 it'll clear up. So we had a lot of foggy experiences, but we had some nice afternoon experiences when it cleared up as well. Problem was, on our trip home, we got into some foggy problems. And so at the airport, we got hindered because the planes couldn't get in and out, and they were stuck and way backed up in San Francisco. And then we were supposed to go to Denver to get a flight out of there to come from there, and they had storms there, and they were all backed up. They threatened to take us to Albuquerque, New Mexico. But we got turned around. We did go back to Denver, but then we missed our flight to come to Grand Rapids. We were supposed to get in Grand Rapids like at 11:30 or at night. So they sent us to Chicago, and we were going to be there until the next day and come back at noon. And so we didn't want to do that because Sandy's supposed to go back to work. So Nathan and Caitlin came and picked us up at Chicago, and we were late getting there because it took us a long time to get out of the storms in Denver. And we got home at 5 o'clock in the morning. I think it was that Monday morning, or I can't remember now, Tuesday morning. And they went to work all about 7:30 in the morning, so they got about an hour and a half sleep and went to work. I took a nap. I was grateful for that. But it reminded me of all that fog in the plane, and sometimes it's hard to see, and sometimes life is like that. You know, sometimes it's really clear where we need to go. Sometimes it's just foggy, and we don't know, you know, what's my guidance? Where am I supposed to go? Reminds me of a story I heard about a flight attendant who spent a week's vacation in the Rockies. She was captivated by the mountain peaks and the clear blue skies and the sweet-smelling pines. But she also was charmed by a very eligible bachelor who owned and operated a cattle ranch and lived in a log cabin. At the end of this week, Mr. Wonderful proposed. But it all happened so quickly that the woman decided to return home and to her job, feeling that she would somehow be guided to make the right decision. The next day in flight, she found herself wondering what to do. And to perk up, she stopped in the restroom. She splashed some cool water on her face. There was turbulence, and a sign in the restroom lit up. It said, "Please return to the cabin." So she did, to the cabin back in the mountains. And I tell you that story not to demonstrate the best way to make decisions in life, but to point out the fact that all of us have choices to make. And the right choice is not always plain to see. As Christians, we want to seek God's will for our lives, but his voice is rarely audible to our human ears. So how can you and I be certain that we're in God's will, that the decisions that we're making are the right ones? Today's Bible lesson I want to share with you will uncover some truths that will help us to receive guidance from God. Have you ever wished that God would send you a star like he did to the wise men, or maybe speak to you in a dream like he did to Joseph and Mary? Wouldn't life be easier? It would, but God rarely guides us in these supernatural ways. What he does do is gives us guidance through his word, the Bible. So I want to share with you, as you'll see on your outline today, four essentials for receiving God's guidance. These essentials are taken from a romantic story found in Genesis 24. It's a story of when Abraham asked his servant to go back to his home country and find a wife for his son Isaac. It was important for Isaac to have a wife from his own people, because Isaac was the heir of God's promise to build this special nation of people who would be blessed by God. And the Canaanites, people where they lived in that area and they had settled, were not God-fearing people. They were idol worshipers and immoral in their lifestyles. So Abraham sent his servant on a mission to go back to his homeland and to convince some girl that she should leave home and travel with him to a distant land to marry someone that she had never met. Having two girls of my own, I think it'd probably be just as hard to convince the father to let her go as it would her. But God goes ahead of them, and the servant on this journey makes him successful in his search, and God helps the servant to come back with a wife for Isaac. Her name is Rebekah. And his plan for building the kingdom then continued on schedule. So I want to read that story with you. It's out of Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 15, about how God led, and then we're going to look at how the principles there can lead us also in making decisions in our life. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. That's kind of funny. I stick your hand under my thigh, and I don't want to take an oath that way, but evidently that was a cultural thing. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. The servant asked, but what if I can't find a young woman who's willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from? No, Abraham responded. Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from the oath, this oath of mine, but under no circumstances are you to take my son there. So the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instructions. Then he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master to convince the girl to come back with him. And he traveled to a distant Aram Naharim, and there he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. He made the camels kneel beside a well just outside the town. It was evening, and the women were coming out to draw water. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, he prayed, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebekah coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. And if you know the story, you know, it all worked out. She did exactly. She asked him, you know, if he could water, give him some water, and she did. Then she also watered his camels, went back home, and the father was convinced to let her go, and that's how this big romance started. Let's pray and ask God to teach us through that story today. Lord, we believe that you do have plans for our life, and you want to guide us. We have to listen and follow your guidance. So I pray that you would teach us through your word this morning how to receive guidance in whatever area maybe we're seeking that right now in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So four essentials for receiving guidance. Number one is this. The first essential for receiving guidance is knowing God's word. Abraham knew what God wanted for Isaac. He knew God had promised to build this land. He knew that he was supposed to stay in that land. It was going to be through his offspring. God had spoken directly to Abraham. But today, God doesn't always speak to us directly, but he does speak to us through his word. And God reveals his plan and purpose for our lives. It also provides some very biblical principles, good principles that we can live happy and fulfilled lives. So knowledge of God's word is important. You know, God tells us all kinds of things about who we should marry or what the kind of person should be like, who should be in leadership, what you should do with your finances. There's probably not one area in your life, how to raise your kids. There's not anything that's not dealt with in the Bible. If you want to find out about how you should live, and even in the culture that we're in, you can go there, and there's very clear directives. And so you, first of all, need to know that. God's not going to ask you to do something different than it says in his word. He's not going to ask you to live a different moral life than it says in his word. Because those are the principles, if you follow them, that are going to give you a good and happy and fruitful life, like living in the promised land. But if you turn away from those things and you don't follow his word or his guidance, you're going to have problems. So we know that Abraham knew what God's plan was. He knew God's purpose, and he took steps to find a wife for Isaac. And I want you to note something interesting at this point, too. Abraham knew God's plan for Isaac's life, and he knew that God would not bless a marriage where Isaac was joined with one of the local Canaanite women who were idol worshippers and lacked moral integrity. But Abraham did not sit idly by and wait for God to bring Isaac a wife. Knowing God's promises and plans, he took steps to move in the direction he knew that God wanted. Even though God had not specifically told Abraham to go back to his homeland to find a wife for Isaac. Some people seem to think that receiving God's guidance means doing nothing. You know, like, I need a job, so I'm just going to pray for God to give me one. That doesn't work. That's not biblical. You ask God, but then you seek. and you look and you try to go through doors. Same thing with relationships. You know, you know that God wants somebody for you or that, but sometimes you have to take a risk. You have to step out on your own. Finding my wife was one of those kind of things. Of course, Sandy's my wife. That's what I'm talking about. I was so shy. I didn't talk to girls. I was the wallflower. I didn't think any girls liked me. And so I, you know, it was hard for me to even date anybody, but I wanted a wife, right? And I was going to go into the ministry. I went all through college, 4 years, where all these good Christian girls were, and dated once or twice here or there, never found anybody. Went on to seminary, where all those ladies were that wanted to be ministers, didn't really find anybody. And so, you know, it was difficult for me, but then when God led me to find Sandy, because my dad was pastoring here for a year, first time I met her up at the campground or here, you know, I was really attracted to her. God gave me that extra attraction. I don't know what you call it, love at first sight or whatever. I don't think she was attracted to me that well. But anyway, I had to decide, am I going to pursue that or not, right? And I was scared to pursue it. So I had to sneak around and ask Enid, my mom, to ask Enid what her address was so I could write to her. You know, so I wrote a letter to her and said, you're probably dating somebody, probably might not be interested in, you know, how the low self-esteem kind of works. But, you know, I really like you. I think I'd like to get to know you better. Can I write you back and forth? So we just started writing for a while. And I think I can express myself better in writing than I do talking sometimes. So we did that and got to know each other and started dating. And God just opened up the door and it just worked perfectly. You know, and then she was the right person for me because God had planned it. And God had worked that way. But I still had to take steps. Have you ever been there where you're scared to make those steps? You know, it's uncomfortable for you to do those things. It's not your normal thing. But even if you know that God wants something for you, sometimes you have to do that. You have to take the steps and say, okay, I'm going to move in the direction that maybe God wants me to go. And so knowing God's word and doing God's word, they have to go together. And sometimes you have to step out to do that. The second essential for receiving God's guidance is committing to God's will. I think I missed that one part that about confirming God's will with others. And I do want to hit that before I go on, because I think we can proof text everything. We have a desire, we want to do something, and we say, oh, that's what the scripture says. Anybody can proof text something. So it's good when you're kind of confirming God's will to ask other people, spirit-filled people, do you think this is right? You know, and like our relationship with Sandy, other people were trying to tell her, oh, I think you guys make a good couple, or I see God's plan in your life. You know, so it was confirmed through other people as well, other than just our own feelings. So it's important when you're interpreting God's word sometimes to ask somebody else, do I have a right interpretation? Then the second one here about committing to God's will, I put an important statement, submission to God comes before guidance from God. If you're not willing to submit to God's will, why is he even going to tell you? He already knows ahead of time you're not willing to change. You're not willing to go where he wants you, so you say, well, so quiet, and I can't get any direction, because maybe you haven't settled that issue. Because maybe you have to submit to the fact, first of all, God, if you want to change me, you want to move something different, then I'm willing for that. I've got to be willing to submit to you before I can maybe hear guidance from you. In verses 5 and 6, it tells us that Abraham was committed, and his servant was committed to following God's will, even if it was difficult. Let me read those verses again. So the servant asked, but what if I can't find a young woman who's willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land that you came from? So in that verse, the servant wants to know what to do if following the principles that God's word doesn't work out. What if it doesn't work like I think it should? And the servant is basically asking Abraham if he will change his mind and give up on God's plan if it appears that doing those things God's way doesn't work. And Abraham says to his servant, no, you don't take my son back there. You don't leave the promised land. I know it's God's promise for us to stay here. Don't ever do that. Abraham was committed to following God's will no matter what, even if things didn't work out. And I hope that you respond with that same uncompromising commitment to obeying God when you are confronted with similar situations. The only way that we can be sure of God's guidance is by being committed to God's will above our own will. You know, Romans 12, 1 to 2 says that submission to God comes as a prerequisite to knowing it, right? Do you know that verse? Therefore, I urge you, brothers or sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, it says, after you submitted to God, after you're willing to do His will, you lay your life as a sacrifice to Him, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you're not submitted to God, you're not even going to hear His will. You're not even going to see His will. So not only knowing the Word of God, you've got to be willing to submit to it and go His way before He can lead you. Submission to God comes before guidance from God. Many times people find themselves out of God's perfect will because when it comes right down to it, they're not fully committed to His plan, their own plan. They may pray, they may quote the Bible, they talk about seeking God's will, but in reality, they're seeking God's approval for their plan, not for His plan. But here's a promise. God will work supernaturally in your life to bring about His plans as He did for Isaac and Rebekah, but only when your purpose and total commitment is to do His will. So the first essential for receiving God's guidance is knowing God's word. The second essential for receiving God's guidance is committing to God's will. And the third essential for receiving God's guidance is trusting in God's ways. You see, faith involves moving forward before you see the final destination. Isn't that true? Many times God says, you've got to take a step of faith. You've got to believe in me. Believe in me. I can't see the runway. I can't see. It's too foggy. That doesn't matter. Still follow me. I'll get you through. I'll take you there. But there's also a way of faith. Abraham did this. He trusted God to provide a wife for Isaac, even though it might have been unlikely. Look at verses 7 through 9. It said in that scripture that we read also, for the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you. He will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine, but under no circumstances are you to take my son there. And so, you know, many people express a trust in God, but their trust in God might be providing what they want. But Abraham says, even if things don't work out, I'm still trusting God. I know that He'll provide a way. Even if she decides not to come back, then God will provide another way for me. My personal experience in finding a wife, I had to come to the place of saying, God, if you don't want me to be married, that's okay. That's a hard place to come. Have you ever been there? I mean, a lot of us have been there. That's painful because you want companionship, you want somebody. Not till I got to that point did God really send Sandy along. You know, because I was trying on my own all through college. I was trying through seminary. I even tried to date somebody that I knew from church camp, because I knew they came from a good Christian home. It just didn't work. And it wasn't right. And I had to say, God, okay, I'm giving up on it. If you don't want me to be married, then I'll live that way. And it was after that point then that God worked out the miracles to come in place. Because it was a miracle that Sandy became my wife, because my dad was appointed here at the church for 1 year. He was only here 1 year. He got sick and had to retire. If he hadn't come here for 1 year, and I never would have met her. You know, so it's just like going to the well and finding somebody. God worked out those situations. He worked out those circumstances. He had that in mind. And I believe He has that in all of our lives. He has plans. He has doors. He'll take us through, but we have to trust Him. And sometimes, you know, you just don't see the way. But you have to say, God, whatever Your will is, that's what I want in my life. So the third essential for receiving God's guidance is trusting in God's ways and acknowledging that in our life. So the three things we looked at in review: first essential for receiving God's guidance is knowing God's word, the second is committing to God's will, and the third is trusting in God's ways, even if we don't understand them. And the fourth and final essential for receiving God's guidance is praying for God's wisdom. The servant didn't just assume that he would recognize whom God had provided as a wife. He prayed for that guidance. He said, "Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham," he said, "please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham." He said, "see, I'm standing here beside this," and he goes on and says, "these are what I'd be looking for because I can't do it on my own." And we have to come to a place in our life to say, I can't do it on my own. I don't have wisdom on my own. Open the doors, close the doors, send me where I need to go. And that servant realized that he needed God. Too many of us, we try to do everything with our own wisdom. We try to ask our own questions, but we don't seek God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't ask God for wisdom. I don't know what to do in so many situations in life. But God says, if you ask me, then I will answer you. I want to close with an illustration, a story Sergeant Arthur Powell told. It was back in 1994, back when most of you weren't born yet. Well, maybe some of you were born before then. In Guidepost. He said this, when I was a kid growing up in St. Nicholas Project in Harlem, I was scared. I was afraid of shootings, of gang harassment and threats from drug dealers. Dad wasn't around much, and Mom, who wasn't well, had her hands full raising 8 children on welfare. So Grandma Powell took me in tow, a feisty woman with discerning eyes and an implicit faith in God. Hattie Powell took me to church often. And he said, one Sunday morning in 1964, as we left the Abyssinian Baptist Church, she stopped on the sidewalk, lifted my chin, and using my middle name said, Maxwell, you have got to live by the word. And she pointed back to the old stone church, said, you heard what the preacher said, to pray, to ask the Lord for guidance and protection? Well, it won't do you much good unless you. And then she paused. She took my arm and she directed my attention to a man leaning against a lamppost. She said, see that man? He's always bragging about his big plans, but he never has done anything. Talk is easy, she continued. It's the doing that counts. God tells us to be doers of his word and not just hearers. And then she said this, remember, Maxwell, Monday doing is better than Sunday talking. See, we need to not only be hearers of the word, we need to be doers of the word. And if we're really going to be submitted to God, then when he tells us to do something, we do it. Even if we don't understand it, even if it seems foggy. And as we move forward with God's word and we follow him, he leads us and he guides us in the ways and plans that he has for our life. So here's some application questions I stuck on your outline for you. Some questions you can take with you, put in your pocket. Maybe you got some decision you're making this week or next month. You can ask yourself these questions. First of all, does God's word direct it? And this choice that I have, is there any direction specifically given in Bible that I should follow? There's a lot of directions about not being too much in debt, a lot of directions about not being unequally yoked, a lot of directions about loving your neighbor, turning the other cheek, forgiving. There's all kinds of things in the Bible that gives us direction. So is there a specific clear direction that I need to follow? And you don't have to ask God about that. It's already there. The next question, does my spirit confirm it? Do I feel at peace? Because God works through your conscience. God's given you the Holy Spirit. God's given you that paraclete that walks alongside of you that will help you. So you need to be at peace. Or maybe it doesn't make sense to other people, but maybe you're at peace. Maybe it doesn't make sense to other people, but you're not at peace. And so, you know God's spirit speaking to you that that's just right or it's not right. Third question, do others agree with it? You need to ask other people. I know too many people that's gone all alone and they make some really crazy decisions and they think this is what God wants them to do. And it's not right. You know, ask other mature Christians, does your spirit confirm that? Does the word confirm, am I making the right choice? Especially huge decisions in life. Ask other people to confirm it with you. That's why we have the body. Next one, do my circumstances allow it? Because God should put the circumstances together to make it work out, right? And sometimes we have bigger obligations in our life that we're called to fulfill. I'm supposed to take care of my family. I'm supposed to take care of my kids. I know people that run off and they desert their bigger priorities. You know, is it something that God would allow at this time in my life? Because he's given me some bigger priorities that I have to take care of. Do my circumstances allow it? And finally, am I willing to pursue it? Because many times if you pursue a dream or something different, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give up some lesser things for the greater. It's going to be costly. So if you really know that God's calling you, are you willing to pay the price to move forward? That's the questions we need to ask ourselves in that discerning and making decisions in life. I'm sure all of us have some decision we're making. It might be purchase of a car, purchase of a house, maybe going to school, maybe it's relationship issues, maybe it's a change of employment, whatever it is, take it to God, ask him, get wisdom from him and other people, and he'll keep you centered even when things seem cloudy in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we're all human and we all get storms in life. We all get off track. We all have foggy times that don't make sense. We need to turn to your word for answers. We need to turn to your spirit. And I pray that you would use this story even today to speak to us, each of us, in an area that we need to seek your guidance. Help us never to go it alone and think we know the answers or push down doors that you haven't opened, but help us to follow and submit to your will. In Jesus' name.